What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Breathing right now?
Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Talking Traders with me, Tamara Judge. Hey guys, welcome back to our very last episode of Talking Traders with myself, Tamara Judge, and Janelle. And today we have a special guest. Hi, Janelle.
Hey, I'm so glad we could finally just do this podcast. I remember talking with you in the castle about the podcast.
I know. And today we have a special guest. We have Trishelle, who won last night with CT. I wish we could have gotten CT too, because he's out of town. Now, Trishelle is a reality TV personality best known for appearance on MTV's The Real World, Las Vegas in 2002. She later participated in MTV's The Challenge series. Trishelle has also ventured into acting and poker, showcasing a diverse career beyond reality TV, most recently winning The Traders with her fellow challenge star CT. So let's bring in Trishelle.
Hi.
There she is.
Hi, ladies.
Very colorful. Look at that.
Yeah. I love that.
Are you still on a high from winning?
Yeah, I am. I'm kind of like, the reunion when I watched it back last night was worse than I remember, actually.
Well, what do you think was the worst part?
MJ was so bitter. Like I do not remember it being that bad. I think I was just kind of like laughing and I don't know, thinking about other stuff, but she was so mad.
Yeah. You remember John going, it's just a game. I mean, she was really pushing CT hard. And finally he's like, what's your deal? Like it's a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
She kept interrupting him. Like, I remember because I was just sitting there and she kept going after you guys. And I was like, dude, like, it's a game. Like, what don't you get about this? Like, what show did you think you were playing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm also confused why she was so pissed at me when clearly I had thought that CT was a traitor. I told her right before we went there, I trust you 100%. I voted against my ally to keep her in the game. She's still mad at me. I'm like, were you really all there? Like, I don't understand where her mind was going. She wasn't like, things weren't computing.
And we're going to get to that later on because I have questions about that, how you voted for CT first and then you switched it to MJ.
Yeah.
But you have won. When you stepped into that castle 6 months ago, did you think there was a possibility that you were going to win?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I was like one of the least famous people there. I was just kind of like, in awe of everyone. I just wanted to like meet everyone, have a good time and, you know, have an experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that you had a great shot of winning because like the other people from your show were, you know, they're very out there, very out, especially Bananas. Yeah. He would be a much bigger target than you. So because there was three of you, I was like, that kind of like insulates you a little bit, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. But I really thought that if they had kept Bananas, that he and CT were going to team up and like get rid of me.
Really?
I don't know. I just like those guys, they're tough.
What do you think the hardest part of the game was?
Probably I just was so concerned with getting murdered. I was spiraling every single morning and day and night. I just always thought I was going to get murdered. Janelle knows.
I remember
so much.
I remember being with you every morning.
The night she packed shit up and production was like, you're
she
fine.
Packed your,
you're
I was fine. Gonna say, you packed your shit up. You're like, I know I'm going home.
I'm going home.
Yeah.
You were convinced. And you know that that's what convinced me that you were a faithful.
Same. I was like, okay, she's for sure a faithful. Like, okay. Yeah.
Because it wasn't even like Parvati's bad acting. It was literally like,
yeah.
Like, no, I think I packed up and going home. I'm going home. And I'm like, oh, she is a faithful. That is for sure.
I was so worried.
Yeah. After getting home, me and Janelle talked about this. There's like this, like transition period where you don't feel normal for a while. Like you still feel your head is in the game. Did you go through that?
I did. And I've heard you say this on this show, cause I love Talking Traders, but I heard you say this a couple times that you were listening to that song. And I was too. I'd have my earbuds in just listening to like that weird Hunger Games song.
It's like you miss it.
Yeah.
And the song takes you back to where where you were for so long, isolated in this castle with no phone or family or anything.
I kind of liked it though. Honestly, people were like, do you miss home? I'm like, not really. Like I love my husband, but it was like a nice break.
Yeah. You guys like it's real. Like we have therapists that call us or text us after every episode to just make sure where our mind is. And when we get home, they call us every like week. And I'm like, when they told me they were going to do that, I'm like, why? I mean, I'm fine. I'm a big girl. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go live my life. But you are still stuck mentally in that game. It's like brainwashing, I think.
Yeah.
It's hard to take yourself out of it because I think everyone that's playing is just so competitive and you just constantly think about the game.
Yeah.
And kind of watching it back too. I feel myself getting so nostalgic for the castle and just being with you guys. And like, there's certain scenes that I'm like, God, I could put myself back in that place right now. Like it seems so real to me. It's weird.
I know. Like when the very first night he picked the traders, I love that whole memory so much, even though it was the most stressed I've ever been in my life.
But. Yeah. Well, MJ was obviously upset about the finale and what went down.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Like she had a strong response to it. What are your thoughts?
I'm just going to go ahead and be honest, be myself. I don't think she has a leg to stand on. I think that she's being ridiculous. I think all this it's insane. I'm like, were we on the same show? Like, were we in that fire pit together? What did you see that I missed? I don't know. I don't understand her bitterness and her venom. Maybe I get it towards CT because she and CT were closer and she felt really betrayed by him. But me, girl, like we only had a few conversations, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I tried to have her back. MJ was her own worst enemy. That's not on me. That's on you. Sorry.
Do you think there's any part of her where she's just mad at her own self, though? That's why she's so angry and it comes out that way.
Possibly, I will give it to her because I have played games before where I was really mad at myself and I got home and I was like, damn it. Like I should have done this. I should have done that. Just lots of regrets.
Yes.
But, and so I get it, but I didn't blame other people for it.
Right. It's like getting cheated on for the first time or someone lies to you. I mean, like those scars cut deep, like that hurts. Truly. It hurts like it happens. And so this was like a competitive game show for her where she got burned for the very first time.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that she's probably one of those people that hold a grudge for a very long time.
I think so. And did you guys see her post yesterday about the cheating that Trishelle and CT cheated?
No, I'm blocked. I don't see anything.
Yeah, she posted on Instagram. She's like, rather than cheating, I am a faithful. And I'm like, okay, well, they're faithfuls too. I don't think they cheated, but...
Cheating. I mean, it's a game called the traitors, guys. It's not played with integrity.
Yeah.
Do you think that MJ played a good game, or she just kind of flew under the radar and people kind of knew she was a traitor and just kept her around because she wasn't even a threat?
I think she did have some good moments. I was completely shocked and really like excited for her whenever she clocked Kate at breakfast. I was like, oh my God, how perceptive. I loved that. And she was the first person to vote Dan. So I think that MJ definitely had moments. But, you know, yeah, I don't think that people just kept her around. I think she played a decent game. Everybody had their own game that they played, right?
For sure. For sure. Are you proud of the way you played the game? Would you have done anything different?
No, I would not have. And you know what? I am proud even toward the end, because here's the thing. I didn't get nasty. I didn't say anything personally mean about anybody on the show, like at all. And so I think that I did okay. But maybe I would have played a little bit less frantic. I look like a crazy person, like for a lot of it. I felt like when Frazier said, I'm not frantic like you, I was like, I do kind of look frantic, like with my notes and everything, kind of crazy.
You won. So you did something right. Was there anything that surprised you that happened at the reunion?
I was so surprised that Phaedra was so angry with Dan.
Me too.
I knew she was mad, but oh my God.
Do you think we saw a different side of Phaedra at the reunion?
Yeah.
I personally feel like, and I said this on last week's podcast, I feel like everyone, I finally saw them for like their complete selves. Cause like MJ, I thought she was different. I thought she would react different. Phaedra, I was like, honestly, she was so loyal to the traitor. She's actually a really loyal player, and she got burned by Dan, and she's also a little bitter, but I understand where she's coming from.
Well, we saw Phaedra, the sweet, loving, preying on us girl at the castle. And then when we go to the reunion, she called him a piece of shit.
Piece of shit.
And something else. Low down son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That's what she called him.
She called him a low down son of a bitch. And the whole time I was giggling.
I was too. Oh my God.
I was like,
I saw the clip. I haven't watched it, but I saw the clip of me laughing when she called. I got to the point where I felt bad for Dan.
Okay, you guys, I was sitting right across from him. It looked like he was about to start crying. His eyes were getting red. I was like, really? You're like, no, Janelle. I swear I thought he was going to start crying.
Well, he had bananas behind him yelling at him. And then you had Phaedra in front of him yelling at him.
Yeah, Bananas wasn't taking things very easily either. He was also extremely bitter about not getting a chance to play.
Well, he was bitter the minute he was off. He was on social media.
100%. He was. But I agree with Janelle about Phaedra being like the most faithful traitor.
Yeah.
She was. And I watched it back and I was like, she took her oath seriously. She had everyone's back that was at the turret with her. And I do respect her so much for that. And I can see why she was pissed at Dan.
Speaking of oath, she had said at the reunion that Dan broke his oath. Is it really breaking your oath at that point? Or was it all man for themselves that?
No, because I think the rules say that you can go after a traitor. You can't
be like at banishment.
You're a traitor. But at the banishment table, it's the rule. Like you can call out another traitor and turn on another traitor.
Yeah.
The wording is conspicuous. It says in the spirit of the game. They kept saying that in the rules. In the spirit of the game, you can do this. In the spirit of the game. And I was like, what is that? Okay.
So he didn't break an oath.
He didn't break an oath because the whole rule of it is keep our identities secret. Keep our identities secret so no one knows. That's the oath. We're going
to work. I think the oath is like you can't call out. You can't say to the rest of the group, Phaedra's a traitor. You can't say.
You can do that.
You can do that?
Yeah, they did it in other seasons.
Yeah, you can do that because you're turning on a traitor. You can turn on a traitor.
So he did nothing wrong.
He didn't do anything wrong.
I think personally he did something wrong because like he outed Phaedra and it really ruined her game because that's when I really started looking at her.
I don't know if it was the best game move for him. I think Parvati was an easier target. He should have went after Parvati because she had so much more heat on her. That would have been the best move. But, you know, it's Dan. He felt bad. He was really close with Parvati, so he felt bad.
Trisha, who are you most worried to face, MJ or Peppermint?
Oh, probably MJ. Well, maybe actually both. But I don't think peppermint.
Because you got a lot of shit on social media for.
Yeah. It was her fans. It wasn't
for
like
peppermint. Oh yeah. I remember you like
really peppermint. It was like her fans. Yeah. And so I wasn't like really nervous about peppermint. I think that she's like a smart person. She's not like that mad. I mean, she's upset, but
she was fine. She didn't act like she was even.
Yeah, she was fine. You know, she got it. But I do agree with her too. What she said at the reunion when she was like, she's like, I had a platform that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And I agree with her. And that's why I was so upset whenever she left and she stood up there and said, I'm a faithful and this is why I wanted to be here. It broke my heart because I was like, I was a huge part of that. And I knew that I was I was a big responsibility in her going home. So I hated that. But you know what? I came into the castle thinking that every single person was competition. And I didn't think about anyone having a platform or anyone doing this. And that was probably my bad and my regret in the game. But I was just so competitive. I couldn't see past it.
I mean, at the end of the day, she said she was kind of a traitor in a different context.
Yeah.
That's like a big no-no when you play traitor. You don't want to say that.
Yeah, that's what made me think she was a traitor is that she actually said in the kitchen that she was a traitor. And then, you know, at that time of the game, we had really hardly anything to go off of. It's just mannerisms and what comes out of their mouth. Like, too early.
I misread like a facial expression and that was my bad too. I just misread it. But people misconstrue a lot of things in the beginning of the game and it's all based on assumptions.
Yes. Yeah. On assumptions, I'm going to assume that MJ hasn't unblocked you.
I haven't checked in a minute, but... I'm sure she hasn't. I'm sure she hasn't.
So, Trishelle, who do you still talk to from like Peter's clique?
From Peter's,
Peter's pals.
I talked to Peter and Bergie. I talked to Ek and Sue before she got on Big Brother. I talked to you guys. I talked to Dan every once in a while. But you know what, Janelle? Dan does like the check in. Like, we cool? Like before the reunion kind of thing. I talked to Parvati a little bit. Yeah.
I remember the day that I was banished, he sent me a text. Like the second it happened, he was watching it live and he said, are you okay? And I'm like, you're so sweet.
Yeah.
Did you go to Peter's mom's house afterwards?
I did. I missed you guys so much. I was like, where are my girls?
I wanted to go, but I'm in filming mode right now. So I don't get much sleep. So I'm like, I'm going to go home and relax. So I had to film the next morning.
I don't blame you. I went and I actually got to talk to Peppermint over there.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Anything you want to share?
Well, we had a very brief conversation, but I think the whole thing of the conversation is that I told her that I respect her boundaries. And whenever she's ready, if she would like to, you know, talk to me, I would absolutely love to talk to her about everything. And that I was very apologetic about like kind of how she went home so early and my, you know, misconstruing facial expressions and all that other crap. And she was very receptive. So yeah.
Was MJ there?
She was. She was so quiet. Did she talk to you? No, she did not. She was so quiet. And then she like came and left.
She's really taking this personal.
Wow. It's crazy. Can you let us know, is Ek and Sue and Peter together?
Well, I don't know. Okay. Because like, I definitely saw some like flirtation going on. Mm-hmm. I think that they're friends, but I think that there could be more. And I think she's also coming back to LA in April. So, that could be something. I had the whole thing planned out. I was like, Peter, move back to LA. Your family's there. Ek and Sue wants to get into like hosting and stuff. She can move to LA. Like you guys can make it work. I was like really pushing.
Yeah, because she lives in London, right?
So yeah.
It'd be kind of hard to have a long distance relationship like that. Although Peter does fly internationally. So
yeah,
I don't know. I look at Peter and I think this is a guy that's flying these big old jets, commercial jets. And I'm like, I just think my pilot should be like 60 years old
Older.
And been doing it for years.
You know what? My husband's a pilot and I even get nervous. This is terrible to say, but I get nervous flying on his planes. Cause I'm like, I know you, like you forget things all the time. You forget.
Right?
I'm like, what if you forget to do something very important? And I'm on the plane. Like you're going to kill us all. I don't understand.
I know. Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Can you talk to us about your relationship with CT?
Oh my gosh. So it's been like 20 years. I was always the girl on the challenges that hated the bananas and I hated the alpha males. I was like, oh God, these guys, they're gross. All they do is work out and spit and they smell and they were messy in the house. They always left dishes. I just hated it. I hated them. I was like definitely the girl that hung out with the girls and the gays. I just hated the guys. And they just bothered me a lot. And so we kind of fought a little bit, and then he dated like one of my friends, that was kind of weird and whatever. He ended up being a good guy to her. But anyway, I just kind of, the whole alpha male thing, I didn't think that they had a lot of respect for women back in those days. But he's changed a lot. Whenever I saw him in the castle, we had like long conversations. He is a different person. He's a dad. He's just matured and grown up. And so
did you keep in touch with him since what was it, 20 years ago you worked with him?
No. So I think the last time I had seen him was like 14 years prior.
Oh, wow. So, that's a long time.
A long time. Yeah. So it was a long time. So I didn't know what to expect. When I saw him, I was scared.
Wow.
Wow. So do you think the challenge or Traders was harder?
Traders.
I think really?
This is harder. Yeah, the challenge is hard just because your sleeping conditions are terrible and like you're with a bunch of young people and stuff like that. But Traders was harder because I actually liked people there. And people are getting, and like MJ, it kind of makes me sad that she's so upset because I'm just like, damn, I liked MJ, you know? And on the challenge, you kind of don't care. People are used to it. On a challenge, you literally tell someone to their face, kind of like a round table, that you're voting them off. And then people are fine. That's it.
Yeah. Would you ever do Big Brother?
I would love to do Big Brother.
Really?
I'm the biggest Big Brother fan.
Oh my God.
I think you'd be so good at it, Trishelle.
That sounds stressful.
You'd be good too, Tamara. It's stressful, but the celebrity version is so condensed that it would move so much quicker for you guys.
But isn't it like 2 months or something crazy? Or aren't you there forever?
No, the celebrity version's only a month.
Do they still have the celebrity version? Because I heard they didn't anymore.
Well, they got rid of it, but there's always talk of it coming back.
The 30-day celebrity.
Yeah.
And the normal one is 100 days?
The normal one's 100.
Screw that. Could you imagine?
A long time.
There's no way I could do that for 100 days. I don't think I could do it for 30 days. Let's talk about the last mission you did.
Yeah.
Do you think it was the hardest of the entire season? I just watched it and thought, oh, thank God I wasn't there.
It was
thank
long.
God, CT.
It was an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. It was freaking long. It was so cold, you guys. Like, it was raining that day. It was really windy. It was freezing cold. They had those thick, we had those thick wetsuits on, but it just wasn't enough. And then we were in the water. And it was so funny because whenever MJ, well, Sandra and CT went in the cave and MJ was swimming kind of behind them, and it showed me and Kate sitting up, and people were like, Trishelle and Kate just didn't do anything this mission. We had to untie a rope. And I was
I was wondering. It was like MJ and CT, like, that sail at the end.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are the other ones doing? Just taking a smoke break over there?
Yeah. The end was like pretty hard. But what y'all didn't see is that after that challenge, we all had to, with Alan, ride a boat to another harbor. Well, there ended up being this huge storm that came out of nowhere. I literally thought the boat was going to sink. I kept asking Kate, because she's, you know, below deck. I was just like, is this normal? She's like, no, this is not normal. She's like, I mean, like, shit's flying everywhere. Like, this captain's terrible, blah, blah, blah. Like, she's just like, but it was crazy. They had to, like, make us all go inside. The cameras had to be put down. Like, Sandra was throwing up. It was so bad.
I was just going to ask, was anybody throwing up? Because sickness is a thing.
It was so scary, y'all. I mean, I wish that they would have filmed that, but it would have been not safe.
It did look kind of cold, though, and just dreary, like dreary Scottish weather.
I don't like the cold. It was terrible. I don't like that. Whenever they gave me a wetsuit, I was pissed. Every challenge.
Do you remember being locked up for 3 days and they were like, okay, we're going to take you on a swim test.
Oh, my God.
Did you know that Phaedra got out of the swim test?
She told us. Yeah, she was like, "Yeah, I'm good. I'm not going to do this." And they were like, "All right, it's fine."
No, she told them that she was a lifeguard.
Wait, she wasn't?
She's like, "Oh, I'm a lifeguard." I'm like, "You are not a lifeguard. You are a lifeguard, a mortician. You're a doctor. You're an attorney. You're all the things."
Hysterical. Oh my God.
But I was excited to get out.
Oh, I loved it. I was like, exercise.
Just get me out of here. I've been sitting in a room for 3 days. Get me the hell out of here.
How many laps did you guys do?
Oh my God, it wasn't easy. I'm not a swimmer. I am not a swimmer.
I am a swimmer. So I loved it. I was like, this is perfect.
I think I only did four, but I was gassed out. And Deontay did 12.
Ooh. What?
Oh, like, well, no problem. He did 12.
That's because two strokes is like he's like 7'10" or something.
Fair.
Like,
yeah.
He's across in two strokes. My little body's like, oh, get me out of here.
Speaking of Deontay, I loved that he went to the reunion, and I
did too.
So
I thought he wasn't going to be there.
Me too. Yeah.
It was nice so to see him. And he told me, he was like, so sorry that whatever. He's like, but I'm glad to be back and see everyone. And he's just so such a nice guy. Like, it's nice to see an emotional man sometimes, because most men are emotional.
Agreed. Yeah.
He left in a little bit of a meltdown, but he at the reunion was so sweet, so kind. What do you want, dog? Go away.
Yeah.
One more question, Trishelle.
Yeah.
Would you ever do The Real Housewives of New Orleans?
There's been like buzz about it coming to New Orleans. And I know a couple people have been interviewed. I interviewed two once, but, yeah, I will. If it's the right cast, I mean, there's some people that I guess is good television that I don't want to film with, but I
think it would be good. I think it'd be really good.
New Orleans is a really fun city to film in. There's a lot of events. There's something like every week. So there would never be a shortage of stuff. And there's like a lot of drama. But if I do it, I would love to do it with my friend Tamika Lee. She is the absolute best. She was on Southern Charm New Orleans. She was like the best part of it, actually. But everybody else is
so there's a Southern Charm New Orleans.
There was, they got canceled after two seasons, but not because of her. I think just everybody else kind of sucked.
Everybody else sucked. Okay. Now let's get to the recap. So episode 11, the season finale. So Kate is the last traitor left. Alan joins her in the turret and discuss her plans. She has to decide between Trishel or Sheree tonight for her final murder. MJ has the shield. Do you think murdering Sheree was a smart move on Kate's part?
It's terrible, terrible move.
Yeah, she should have murdered me. I should have been murdered so many times. Yeah, it was probably a bad move. Yeah.
Horrible move because she would have had support. Even though it's not suspicious, all you have to do is turn one person. You've got the numbers. You'll only need one more person. So I think it was a terrible move.
Yeah.
I mean, Trishel, so you kind of thought you were on the chopping block. So you knew you were being considered.
Yeah. I mean, I always did, though. Like, I don't know why I thought I was so important that people were thinking about me when they really weren't. But like, I always thought I was going to be murdered.
Yeah. The players arrive for their last breakfast. The last person to walk in is Trishel. Sheree has been murdered. So Kate decided to murder Sheree to take the suspicion off of her since she was in the Bravo Club. Yeah. Kate is determined to convince everyone that Sandra is the last remaining traitor. Now that you've watched the season in full, do you like the twist of bringing in somebody halfway like they did with Kate?
I thought that it kind of got us over the hump to find a traitor, to start finding traitors. It kind of just shook things up a little bit. Like, I think we needed kind of a reset. But yeah, I kind of just did feel, I was like, if she's a traitor coming in, it's going to be way too obvious. And then I don't know. Like,
but how would you have felt if she won after you've been working your ass off for weeks and she came in halfway? Do you think that's fair?
No, I would have been kind of pissed, but I guess I'd have been mad. What do you guys think?
I didn't like the twist of her. I mean, I love Kate dearly, and I loved her in season one, and I think she's so hilarious. But I think bringing her in halfway was so disruptive to the game, and we were already like talking about the traitors and like who to get out, and it was very disruptive for everyone. And I didn't really like the twist personally.
Do you think they will do that next season?
Probably. I don't know. I don't think people really liked it. I don't think it landed well. So like,
if they ask you guys, one of you, would you do it?
I would do it in a heartbeat. Everyone knows that. If there's an office version, like sign me up. Like I'll do anything.
Yeah. I would love to do it again, but I think that probably they wouldn't ask me. I think that Bananas is being asked though.
I think so too.
You think so? Asked? Oh, that's our prediction. Bananas will. Yeah. He'll slide his way in there.
Of course he will.
Traitor, or he'll be a faithful that gets murdered again week one.
I am so curious to see what the cast is going to be for the season three.
I know.
Season two.
Do you know, does anybody know when they're going to start filming?
May.
May. That's so soon. Yeah.
Coming up. Do you watch?
First again. So it's UK, the beginning of May. And I believe the second that UK leaves, the Americans come in.
They don't do the Australian one anymore, right?
That one got canceled, but it was always filmed in Australia.
Yeah. The UK one is filmed at the same.
They have the exact same challenges, the exact same producer.
Different hosts though, right?
Different hosts.
Do you like it as well? I tried to watch it.
Love it. Season one of The Traitors UK. The best traitor that I've ever seen, Wilf, is on that season. He did a fabulous job, but he got kind of danned at the end because at the end, the fellow traitor right at the final five was like, Wilf, you're a traitor. And they were like, what?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I want to see season two, though.
Yeah, no, it's a great, great season.
I'm going to have to watch it. I started watching it just for research when I knew I was going to go to Scotland, and then I never followed through.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
So CT and Sandra are convinced Kate is a traitor after the way she acted with Phaedra during the banishment last night. They decide they're going to vote Kate out. Trishel, Kate, and MJ are talking about the potential of Sandra being a traitor. CT and Trishel are alone, and Trishel admits she thinks Kate could be the traitor. They only need 3 votes, Sandra, CT, and Trishel, and Kate will be out. Trishel, at this point, did you think Kate was the only traitor left?
I wasn't sure. I thought that there could be 2, just because it was kind of inconspicuous. Like whenever he was talking, Alan would talk about like the recruits and he would just be like, you know what that means. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, how many people are you recruiting? So I knew for sure, obviously. I knew it was Kate, honestly. And then
the twist at the round table, it's like, I thought you looked at CT like, what are you doing?
I was pissed. I wanted Sandra to stay. And you know what's crazy is I know that Sandra is so dangerous and that probably would have bit us in the butt in the end. But mm-hmm. I started to really like Sandra. That's where it gets complicated mm-hmm. in this game. Yeah. I like her as a person. I think she's funny. She's very real. I love that about her. And so I didn't want her to go out like that. I kind of wanted to even give her a chance. And so,
were you shocked when CT did that speech and he was saying that he was going to vote for Sandra?
Yeah.
Your face was like, what?
Yes. I was like, what is going on here? I saw him buddying up to Kate and I kind of knew Kate was a traitor. And I'm like, did she recruit CT at some point? I don't know. And so
when you started thinking that CT could be a traitor?
Also, this is why Sandra's so damn dangerous. Sandra's in my ear one night and she's like, who do you think your traitor angel is? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I think Phaedra was mine. That's why I stayed here so long. I think yours is CT, she tells me. And so she started to change my mind about CT. She's so good, that Sandra.
She is good.
Yeah.
She's dangerous. I always felt like it was weird, though, when she talked to Kate. Didn't you think it was weird move for Sandra to be like, why don't me, you, and MJ go to the end and split the money? I'm like, what are you doing? Especially like, did she not think Kate was a traitor? It was so odd. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, I think that she was just like trying to grasp at straws and like get anybody. She just wanted to get to the fire pit.
Yeah. It was a conversation. Cause I was like, that's odd.
So what did you think when the helicopter comes to pick up the last remaining 5 players to take them to their last mission? For this mission, they need to get to the traitor's ship and raise the mainsail in 60 minutes to earn $30,000. Alan warns that there will be detours they can pursue along the way. If they manage to complete all the detour tasks and raise the mainsail, they will receive $50,000 for the pot. They take the first detour and win $5,000. They do the second detour and CT wins another $5,000 for them. And then they get $10,000 from the third detour. They get the mainsail up and win in seconds. You know, they always do that. Yeah. It's seconds. And win the full $50,000 from the challenge. The prize pot is at $208,100. CT absolutely crushed this mission.
He did. He had, y'all, it was really far that he had to go all the way to get those, the combination numbers all the way back to the start. I don't know how he does it. And then come all the way back, run up a damn mountain. It was so far. I don't know.
Oh my God.
He did it all.
Wow.
Yeah.
It looked miserable.
It was really miserable. I hated it. And like, you know, the abseiling was kind of fun, but like the water was freaking cold and like just rowing, or actually we didn't have to row. We just like went to the boat. We had to climb up. It was just like a lot. I didn't like it.
Well, Kate is causing chaos, breaking up the group of Trishelle, Sandra, and CT and causing mistrust between them. Was Kate as convincing in person as she seemed to be on TV?
Yeah, I think she did pretty good. Whenever people would ask her, like at the round table and everything, she was very calm and collected, not unlike Phaedra. And she, I thought Kate did a really good job defending herself. She didn't get worked up.
Speaking of Phaedra, what did you think towards the end, right before she got murdered or banished? What her gameplay, did you feel, because we talked about it last week and we feel like she just kind of gave up. Like she didn't fight for herself. She was just like, I'm tired.
I agree with you guys. And I think that she just was like, I have a gorgeous house in Atlanta. I have a beautiful family. I need a massage. I think she was just like, I'm done.
Yeah, she was towards the end. She only had a few days left. Like, why not fight or stand up for yourself? We all know Phaedra Parks can talk. She can talk her way out of a paper bag. Like, why did she just like, you know, and then her repeating somebody, Sheree goes, are you a traitor? And she's like, am I a what?
Yeah, I know. Maybe she just ran out of one-liners. I don't know. She was just so like, she got tired.
She put on 2 hours of sleep every single night. Like that's got a toll on you. She only gets 2 hours where the other traitors were getting 4 because she's got 2 hours of hair and makeup.
Yeah,
no, I don't know how she did it because like, yes, exactly. 2 hours of hair and makeup, I'm sure. And then I was tired all the time. I don't know how she survived. She didn't look tired.
She did really good with her makeup. I thought she like smuggled in her makeup artist or something.
Me too.
But we all know that's not possible. They go through all our shit. I remember I brought my keys to my car and exit. They were in my purse. They're like, oh no, we're going to take those from you too.
I know. I brought my vibrator. I was like trying to hide. I was like, I hope he doesn't like pull this out.
Wait. Ek and Sue bought, didn't she say she brought a vibrator and they confiscated it? You both did?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God.
I didn't know it got confiscated. They said it was a game enhancing drug or something like, but you know, everything's whatever. And this is a performance enhancing thing. So maybe you can't have.
Oh my God.
They didn't even touch mine. Like I hidden mine in one of my little things or wrapped it in something. I don't know. So like they didn't get mine, but I don't know why they would confiscate hers.
Then how embarrassing.
Yeah.
Very. Especially for the guy that's doing it. Like, I know. Oh, here, I'm going to take this. Oh my God. So it's time for the final round table. CT and Sandra find out they were pit against each other by Kate. Kate, MJ, Trishelle, and CT vote for Sandra. She is banished from the game. Alan gives them the choice to end the game or banish again. I felt so bad for Sandra.
I did too. I felt bad for Sandra. I was like, damn.
I know.
I was one of the worst ones. She said I was heartbroken. I'm like, oh no, Sandra. I felt so terrible, honestly. But I had to vote with the group. You know how it is. It's like, you cannot be the one person. And so
let's blame it on CT because he's the one that had the speech.
I'll go with that.
Well, yeah, definitely.
And I also think CT always thought it was Sandra because Sandra and Phaedra were so close and they both went for you at that shooting the glass thing.
Yeah.
So he was like, Sandra went for Trishelle and tried to take, why would she care if Trishelle gets a shield? So he always had suspicions about Sandra.
Yeah.
Now this was the most intense fire of truth ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, each person has the opportunity to decide if they want to end the game or banish again. The game can only end if all of them choose to do so. Trishelle, TC, and MJ all vote to banish again. Kate votes for Trishel, CT, Trishel, and MJ vote for Kate. They banish the final traitor. Do you think that obviously they knew there was a traitor still amongst them because there was a murder?
A murder. Yeah. Sheree was murdered.
Sheree was murdered. So do you think that that was Kate's way of just being a good Samaritan and going, you know what? You guys know, get rid of me.
I kind of think so. Because, and then she threw in the green little pouch. Why would she do that? Because she knew that there was a there's a traitor left. I think she just was here you go, guys.
Because her speech pretty much said, I'm a traitor. I wanted, I came in halfway, wanted to give it to the faithfuls, basically.
Yeah. I think she just gave it away. But then after that, I knew for sure she was a traitor. I was even more suspicious of CT because he was just hanging out with her so much that past day and a half, before we got to the fire pit. They were very close.
So it comes down to just the three of you, and you have to vote again. It's locked. So then you got to vote again. So the first time you voted for CT.
I would like to explain why.
Please explain that because I am so confused.
I didn't get to explain it at the reunion because there were so many people talking. But anyway, all right. Basically, whenever Sandra planted that little seed, Alan had turned around and said, hey, there could still be a traitor. Whenever there were three people left, I was thinking about what Sandra said. And then I started thinking the torch ceremony. CT did not light my torch. I wonder if he didn't light my torch because he knew that he wasn't going to murder me because he was a traitor. So I didn't need to be saved. Also, whenever CT was like, hey, there's a shield in there, whenever we were in the tunnels in the cabin, I was like, why would he give me a shield unless he was a traitor and he knew he couldn't be murdered? So he was just like, here, you can have it. And so there were just these little things that started to play in my mind. And I was just it's very possible. And then he switched the vote with Kate and Sandra. Was very friendly with Kate toward the end. And I'm just Alan said, if you have a small doubt, don't let it slide by you. So I kind of was just I know 100% that MJ is a faithful. So I'm going to vote for CT.
So if MJ would have voted for CT the first time, you guys would have won it together.
One,
yes.
Two ladies winning. That would have been awesome.
Yeah. Yes. So what made you change your mind and vote MJ the second round?
So whenever I saw CT's face, I just had this flood of memories of us in the castle and all the good stuff. And so I was just I never want to see that hurt look in his eyes ever again. It broke my heart. And I was just if he's a traitor, congratulations, take the 200 grand. It's yours. He'll do some good with it. And so I at that moment, I was just oh, money. I don't care if he's a traitor.
So the pot could have been 250, right?
Yeah.
And then you guys ended up with $104,050 each.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I always thought from season one, I was like, if we lose some money, it's fine. He'll top it off at the end.
That's what I thought too.
Me too.
I thought it was 250 you guys split. Then I'm wait, what?
I kind of like it better
this way. Remember, we lost 20 grand at the freaking poisoning.
Yeah, we didn't care. But I kind of like it better this way because next season it's going to make people really push a little bit more to take the mission.
Do you guys remember first season what their pot was, what it ended at?
They topped it off. It was 250.
They just gave it to them.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
That's why I was like, it doesn't matter. It's fine. He's going to top it off at the end. It'll be 250.
No, he's like, these are all people in TV already. They already have money. I ain't topping shit off.
Right.
Now we know MJ is upset and she's still upset. Would you have been upset with the game? But you know, if you were her, I probably would have been upset with what happened, but I wouldn't blame you because it's a game.
I would have ultimately seen what was right there in front of me the whole time was that somebody tried to save me and vote with me. And I chose to ignore that and vote the person anyway. So I would have taken a little bit more responsibility for that. And she just is not in that place and that's fine. Maybe she won't ever, whatever. Not my problem.
You will probably never cross her path again.
Probably not.
I think you can't get past the fact that you guys all knew each other were faithfuls and you couldn't come to it. So either way, she was like, I don't want to vote anyone. And she was just so stressed about it that she can't get over that feeling.
Didn't know that we were all faithful. I thought that CT could have been a traitor. That's the whole thing. And I guess I didn't convey. I tried to convey that to her during press week at New York. And she was just like, okay. But I mean, yeah.
Well, you had said that you and CT wanted, you had a conversation where you guys thought you had a chance of winning this together, and it happened.
Yeah, for sure.
Trishelle and CT reveal they are faithfuls. They win the game together and take home $104,000 each. What a season. What an amazing cast we had. What is, do you have a favorite memory, guys, mission or scene from the season that you will treasure?
Oh, so many amazing memories for me. I loved every single second in the castle and playing the game. For me, everything was like, wow, this is it.
I liked riding in cars with Phaedra on the way to missions because she's like you said, she would like pray and she's like, oh Jesus, Trishelle, what are we doing? I don't do this stuff. Tell me what it is. And she just pray with us, hold our hand, make us feel better. That was always funny. Deontay was great. The people that you were in the car with first, kind of you bond with.
Yeah.
Like yeah. John, Deontay, and Max was in my car, but he left so early. But yeah, I'm going to miss those breakfasts.
I'm a brunch girl. So I'm going to miss those breakfasts, waking up, like the pressure of like, am I going to make it to breakfast? Who's going to die? Like that whole feeling for me is like, the best.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I don't have too many favorable memories because I was so fucking sick. I couldn't stand it. Yeah. But I would say that the scene with me and you, Janelle, talking about John's asthma was very memorable.
Very. And then I walked up to you after and you were like, I still think John's a traitor. I'm like,
I know. Do you guys think there will ever be a cast that can top our cast?
No,
I don't think so. No, I don't. Way.
I don't. No, there's way. No way.
Is there a lot of big gamers out there besides you guys? Yourself?
I get calls all the time from like Survivor people, and they're like, "How do I get on this cast?" Yeah. I'm like, I think you know they're only going to pick one or two from each you know branch of reality television. Yeah.
Not but is there any other iconic gamer that you think that would be good for this show?
I think my friend Brittany would be great. I played Amazing Race with her. I think Devon from my season would be great. There's so many women that have really good reads. I think women in general have pretty good reads on people. Yeah. So I'd love to see Devon, Brittany, like all those Big Brother women play.
Yeah. I like Anissa from the challenge. She's really funny.
I know who she is. Yeah. She is funny.
She's really funny. And Beth S. Oh, she's Beth. Such a... She has a villainous laugh. Yeah. She's good. What about Housewives, Tamara? Who do you think is going to do it?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Kenya Moore would be good. Portia would be amazing. Yeah.
What do you think of Dorinda?
A Dorinda, for sure.
You love Dorinda.
I'm like a huge Dorinda fan.
I would probably like to see like Margaret Joseph or Melissa from Gorga. Yeah. New Jersey. I mean, there's a ton of housewives. There's no shortage of housewives.
What about Teddy? Because she has experience playing Big Brother. Do you think Teddy would be good?
Oh, Teddy would be amazing. Teddy would win.
Yeah. I think she'd be anyone that's played Big Brother, those games, you have like a little bit of an edge because you know that people can lie to you. So you already, you know.
Yeah, I'm telling you guys, I went into it not knowing what the hell I was doing, and I got out of it still not knowing what the hell went down. So I do not have that gaming mind. And I think we talked about that. There's gamers. And then there was kind of like performers. I felt like Phaedra was a performer. And when it got to the end where things got hard and you had to answer to people, she didn't have that gamer mentality and couldn't like do it. She just couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
But you guys, what an experience. Yes. I'm so happy that I got to meet you guys. And I have lifelong friends.
Me too. I love you guys so much.
I appreciate you so much.
Loving this podcast with you. Thank you.
Yes. Just take care and keep in touch. And you know, if you're in Orange County, you can always come hang out with me.
Yay.
Yes. And Big Bear.
Big Bear. Yeah. But thank you so much.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you too. Have a good weekend.
We love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.